welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. Today, no matter where you look or even live, there's no escaping our digital world. It's all too often a challenging world to navigate for families. Conflict and misunderstanding is very, very easy, bridging the generations. But there are ways to raise mentally healthy and hope-filled kids in a digital age, according to the director of the Resilience Centre, Lynn Worsley, who's seen lots of issues emerge from this arena over the past decade.
One of the difficulties that I have seen is this almost like a competition that parents have with the digital age, with using the devices. Constantly, whenever I'm going and doing talks or seeing clients in my rooms, the question is, how many hours should the children be on the devices, and what should we be doing in order to, you know, monitor them from being addicted to the devices and so on? I find it very irritating.
And you're not very easily irritated.
No, because it's not what the parents are saying that's irritating. It's almost like it's an entitlement for the kids to have the devices.
Okay.
It's almost like they have to have them, and therefore if they don't get them, then there's a problem. And it's almost like we have to accommodate the devices as being another thing that they have to master.
So in a way, they're the wrong questions that they're asking.
They're the wrong questions. Yeah. And this is where we come back to raising children rather than managing them on their devices. So just for example, I went to a restaurant recently, and as I was going past the restaurant, there was a young couple with a young baby. Baby was probably about 13, 14 months, sitting in a high chair with the phone, mobile phone, playing Candy Crush. Now, I don't think the Candy Crush would have been being played, but the colours and so on were very interesting for this baby.
My goodness.
And they were having a lovely time at the restaurant. Now, that would have been easy to have a dinner with your baby there sitting in a high chair.
Yes.
However, they've missed the point. And what's happened is that the device becomes the entertainer, but the device then blocks out all of these other areas of development that the child needs to actually have.
Including and especially relating to their parent.
Well, relating to their parent, but also sitting in a restaurant, smelling the smells,
yes,
looking at the waitress coming over, catching other people's eyes, cooing and garring and squealing occasionally and dropping things, in which case the parents do some training and teaching them how to do that. All of that stuff hasn't happened. And I'd like to say it's much harder to go to a restaurant with a baby and raise them than it is to go to a restaurant with a baby and manage them with a device. It's much harder to do the raising.
That's an interesting distinction.
But the point is, it's really, really important to make sure that the child is going through their normal development process.
So your wisdom to parents probably extends beyond the digital. So, you know, with our topic, how do they raise mentally healthy and hope-filled kids in the digital age?
When I think about that, I'm really honing in on development, on child development, and honing in on what's the difference between managing and what's the difference between raising. We are in, particularly in Sydney, you know, when I think about the city and, you know, there's so much going on, and this is the same in the capital cities around the world. You have got high expectations in your families and your children. You've also got a very, very expensive lifestyle.
Yes.
So you've then got parents who are working very hard and the children are in care or aftercare, and they're having to be managed to go from one activity to the next. So what happens then is that you manage your life and you manage your family as opposed to raising and developing and pushing those areas.
Flesh that out for me. So what's that going to look like if I'm not managing them, like by a timetable and all these carers? How am I going to be raising them well?
Okay, so let's go for like two columns. If you think on one side is managing,
okay,
and one side is raising.
Right.
Okay, so if we think about managing, you're going to get the child to behave. Do what you're told, and then you might actually give them an iPad to keep them quiet because they're behaving. Raising them is actually giving them the skills of the environment that they're in at the moment. So go back to the restaurant, they're actually learning how to sit in a high chair and take turns, wait for their food, taste new food, smile, laugh, interact and have that sort of level.
Yes, yes.
Okay. The next one would be managing, would be stopping them from being bullied. So pulling them back, don't let them hang out with those rough kids. If they're being bullied, step in and save them, or, you know, stop that bad thing from happening to them.
Yeah.
Raising them would be to help them to develop their understanding of the social structures of the world. So an opportunity when somebody is ostracizing them or pulling them out to actually sit down and go, let's have a little look at how the group works. Let's have a little look at how the structure in this school is.
You can make it simple. It's not too sophisticated thinking.
Yes, but it's a skills and an awareness of the social structures that will go for them in raising them for the future. Managing is helping yourselves and them to have an easy and happy life. So shortcuts, you know, quick, easy fix, keeping
for
everyone happy.
Yes.
And I hear this all the time. I just want my child to be happy. Well, I'm sorry, but they're just not going to be happy all the time.
No.
And really, in this life, we have to prepare them for the ups and downs of life. And that means sometimes they're not going to be happy. And if they've been reared to expect happiness...
I saw one kid in the supermarket the other day. I want that! And was just going off its face.
Yes. Yeah, so they're not going to get that.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
So if we're going to raise them as being happy all the time, then we're not actually preparing them for life. So raising would be, rather than having an easy, happy life, it would be being ready to face challenges. Seeing things as a challenge, seeing things as an opportunity. Oh, what can we learn from this? Oh, this is going to be a bit tough. What do you think we might learn from that? How do you think you might be better after this? Which is a different attitude, and it's also slow.
I was going to say, parents are being bothered a lot more.
Yes.
And giving a lot more time.
That's
and
right.
Attention.
That's
and
exactly
thought
right.
To this.
That's
yes.
Exactly right. The next one is like keeping you entertained. Keeping the child entertained and keeping them satisfied is really a way of managing. We don't want them to be bored. I'll take something so they're entertained, they won't get in the way, and so on. Whereas raising would be exposing them to delayed gratification. So delaying what they want, you know, they don't get it straight away. They're sitting there swinging their legs at the seat in the waiting room. They haven't got anything to do. Getting them to colour in while they're waiting or doing something else that means that they have to wait and savour and think, and then they might actually get it in the long run.
That's good training for an adult too, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting in this, in psychology, we talk a lot about mindfulness.
Yes.
Now, we're needing mindfulness now, but in the olden days when you and I were young.
Not that long ago,
was
it?
Not that long ago. But we used to wait in bank queues.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and when we waited in the bank queues, you daydreamed. You didn't check on your emails and you just stood in the bank queue.
Or stand at a bus stop.
Stood at a bus stop. You
yeah.
might have had a book, but you probably just daydreamed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a little bit of a mindfulness time. And so the delayed gratification enables a little bit of space for that sort of mindfulness to actually occur. And not having being satisfied all the time helps you to persevere. If you're hungry and you have to wait for dinner, well, then you're going to be hungry until dinner arrives. You're not going to die.
No.
But quite often, children who are not used
to,
they've been satisfied at all times, and they're snacking all day long just to keep them satisfied, don't have that sort of perseverance to wait.
No.
So the other aspect is getting them organized. That's a management tool. So if you're going to manage, you're going to get them organized, everything in their day is organized, you tell them what they're doing, you get them organized, you pack their bag the night before and you get out the door and look, it makes a really good life.
Good luck with that one.
Good luck with that one. You always forget the socks.
Yes.
But getting them organized is a management thing. But if you're going to raise the children, let them learn to get organized themselves, which will mean they will forget one soccer boot and they will forget their art assignment and they will forget things, but they will learn.
Yes.
And so sometimes that means we have to let them clumsily fall over themselves until they learn how to get themselves organized.
And as we put up with that, and
yes.
It's not easy.
Yes.
They put up with it.
That's
as well,
right.
And learn
That's
to
right.
put up with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look, their partners will thank us later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes. The other one is if you have a management thing, you do things by obligation. You have to be there because it's obligatory. You have to go to grandma's because it's an obligation. Whereas raising and developing is starting to think about what you love and who you love and the reason behind you do something. And you have conversations around that. The final things that I think are really important is managing is avoiding mistakes and regrets.
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't want them to get bullied. I don't want them to have failure. I don't want them to have mistakes and then they won't get into something.
Or be hurt.
Whereas raising is actually letting them make useful mistakes and taking time to talk those useful mistakes through.
Like what?
Like forgetting to put an assignment in. Like forgetting your shoes when you're supposed to be running that afternoon. Like missing an invitation to somebody because you left it in your bag. So those things are mistakes and are difficult, but you learn from those useful mistakes because next time you'll remember.
And no one dies.
No. The other one is also learning forgiveness, because if you make mistakes and you have useful mistakes, you're then more likely to be forgiving of other people when they do the same. So that's sort of, it's quite a different aspect of raising versus
totally.
Managing.
Yeah.
And if you've got those things in your head, it then helps us when we start thinking about the digital age.
You're listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm in conversation with Lynn Worsley on raising mentally healthy and hope-filled kids in a digital age. Lynn says there are three main ways to raise kids instead of managing them.
I always like to think about kids being savvy. You know, I love that word, being savvy. Mm. So I think about being socially savvy. So socially savvy means that they can navigate and negotiate with people and the right people. They have the skills to do that. Socially, they can scan, they can walk into a room and work out where they need to be and what they need to say and how they need to talk to people. Morally, they're able to think about things from another's perspective, so they can understand and have compassion. Socially savvy is also manners, having respect and consideration, managing their emotions. The kids who are socially savvy, they get on.
Yeah.
They're the ones that get up on the bus. You know, when someone's catching a bus, they get up and let someone sit down. They're the ones who will wait for somebody else to walk on first because they know that they're children. They're not at the top of the tree. They need to take respect for older people.
And people will like being around them as kids and adults.
That's right. Yeah. And they get that feedback from adults look, I like you. You're a nice kid. Mm. The other one is environmentally savvy. So environmentally savvy doesn't mean they're going to join the bush care regeneration group. It really means that they're aware of their environment. So being aware of your environment means you're spatially aware. And what we're finding is with the digital age, we're having kids who are losing their spatial awareness.
It's just on the screen.
They're looking at the screen and they lose their peripheral vision.
Wow.
Yes. So we need to make sure that children are exposed to their environment so they know how to spatially manage. So they can walk home from school. They know where their house is in comparison to everything else in the shops and so on. So that they have a spatial awareness when they're walking down the street. And environmental awareness, you know, knowing about the trees and looking after some beautiful things around them.
Yeah.
And also having a natural curiosity, which actually sparks what they're learning in science and maths in their environment.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Having that appreciation of beauty and colour, which comes from our environment. The other aspect is being physically savvy. So we've got socially savvy, environmentally savvy, and then we've got physically savvy. So kids who are physically savvy, they exercise, they have a sense of, yeah, I can do this,
yep.
And they finish things, a bit of agility and flexibility, but they also learn endurance and perseverance in that.
And they're healthier too.
So we have actually an obesity crisis looming. Apparently our kids are going to be fatter than their parents. So we need to be really, really aware that what's happening. And they're saying, oh, it's all about diet. It's not about diet.
No.
It's about activity. And it's also about managing the kids rather than letting them be raised.
It's a really interesting distinction. Let's hone in then on the digital age. We've all heard of digital natives, those who are familiar with computers and the internet from an early age. But you've come up with the term digital naives.
Yes.
Please explain.
Well, if we start thinking about digital natives, you think that they know everything and that we don't because we're not digital natives, when in actual fact that's not right. They're naive. They don't have the wisdom that we have. They don't have the ideas and the directions that we have as adults. And so they're using their devices naively. So what we need to be looking at is not so much building up their digital savviness. It's actually saying, let's step away from this idea that they're digital natives. Let's step right away from that. They're just naive kids using a device that has got so much power and so much opportunity for them.
And they're pretty skilled at it.
And they're skilled at it, but they're not really skilled in knowing how to use it socially, environmentally, and physically, which are actually going to do them well for their development.
What an insight. Again, what's it going to look like practically when we're raising a child rather than managing them in the digital realm?
All right. What it will mean is that you don't start thinking about them as having entitled time. I'm sick of hearing, you know, we've got, you know, we're allowed to have 2 and 3 hours a day or 2 or 3 hours a week. I don't really think this is helpful.
No.
Because what that means, and I see this all the time in my rooms, where kids come in and they go, Mum didn't let me have my full quota yesterday. It's mine until this time. And then someone else interrupted them, so that they're subtracting the minutes so they could get onto it a bit longer. And it's breeding a sense of entitlement.
That's right, yes.
And it's breeding a sense of, I'm allowed to go into this world and shut everyone out, which is selfishness. And it's managing, not raising. It isn't going to socially skill them up. It's not going to make them socially savvy. It's not going to make them environmentally savvy, and it's not going to make them physically savvy.
No.
However, there are games that we can use, and there's going to be another podcast from one of our team here who talks about the games that will actually address some of these.
Yeah.
But they're also ways of using the digital media and devices that we're using. And I think it's probably much more helpful to start thinking about how you as a family use it and how you as an adult use it.
Because they're often setting bad examples too. You know?
Yeah. They did a research project with kids about the use of digital devices, and they said, well, I just do what mummy does, or I wish my mummy would get off the phone. She's always on the phone. And my dad's always on the internet because he's got to work so hard. And so there's this sense of, you know, they're important because they're on it. Whereas in essence, what we're doing is we're stopping their social, their environmental, and their physical development. So one of the things that is really helpful is start thinking through is some of the ways you can use the digital devices that actually help that. Screen sharing. Not each of having a digital device, but rather if your kids are going to want to have a look at something, well, what can they do together? Let them sit down and screen share. Not necessarily playing with someone on the other side of the world, but having a friend over and only having one screen. That's helpful. Another one would be, I don't know if you remember Pokemon.
Oh,
everyone
yes.
Everyone was going all over the city and travelling around to catch Pokemons. It ticked all the boxes.
Did it really?
Kids were being social. The parents were taking their kids out to go looking for Pokemon. There was some shared experiences in that. There were lots of people playing the games and talking about it when they were meeting up. Also, the physical spaces, people were going all around the place. Environmentally, they were starting to get a real awareness of this city.
Spatial, yeah.
Very much so. So, you know, while Pokemon, you can criticise it, the product, I don't really think much of the product. I think a lot more of how it was actually helping our kids develop.
That's really interesting. It's probably worth saying as we wrap up that for some kids, we have to be realistic and recognise that their immersion in the digital world can get out of control. What's that going to look like, and what's your wisdom to parents there, Lynn?
Yes, and it is getting out of control for many, many kids.
Yes.
So what I'd say here is that if you're noticing that there's an obsession, you know, the kids are developing an obsession. They've got to have it. They've got to grab it. They keep stealing it out of your bag and so on. And also if there's anxiety when they're using it or they're not using it or when they can't finish a game and so on and they're thinking about it all the time, then it is time to give the devices a break. And I'm not saying, oh, we're going to restrict your screen time. I'm saying the whole family gets rid of their devices for a period of time.
A digital-free night or
a digital-free night is a helpful. We call it Wireless Wednesdays in some places. But that might be helpful to have one night a week where you get rid of all of devices, and that's including the parents and the television screen.
Play a game.
Yes, and replace it. So don't just get rid of them, but make sure you're going to plan. What are we going to do on Wireless Wednesday? You know, what are we? Let's plan for Wireless Wednesday. And you'll get, I don't want Wireless Wednesday. I hate Wireless Wednesday. That's fine. You can hate it, but I'm really looking forward to. We're going to play this game, and I saw this, talk to someone else down at the school, and they said that this game's really good, and we'll play that game. And you'll get a reluctant Sully kid who doesn't want to play, but after a little while they will start to learn the skills. The other thing is that if you've really got an issue in the household with anybody, and oftentimes the issue is with one of the parents who are obsessively on the computer or on their devices, is to actually have 4 to 6 weeks of no devices at home. Now, I have seen whole families turn around. It took a week to start with before they were stopping to have their cravings for it, but it became a time where the family really connected well. And that's 4 to 6 weeks of no screens in the house at all. So we're not looking up anything on the screens, on the television. We're not doing any of those things. And that means there's games and puzzles and music on.
Books.
Yeah. And atlases and roadmaps to find, and sometimes bus timetables on paper. And I think sometimes the parents in those cases got a little bit prepared and printed a few things off so that they had ideas.
Yes.
But that has been a massive turnaround. Hard. Probably easier to start with your Wireless Wednesdays or one night a week. But if it's out of control, that's a really, really good way to go.
Lynn Worsley, what wisdom for such a big, new and rapidly accelerating era. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. There are lots of other conversations and great resources on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com. dot au.